All right, so we've been talking about the names of Christ. We've been through quite a few of them. And I'd like you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. And as we talk about these names, as I've said, there's a lot to be revealed about who Jesus Christ is. And I'm going to preface this with this comment. Look, if you go and look at various commentaries and you look at various different things that are out there, one of the things that you're going to wind up finding is this. People have a lot of different opinions, amen? And sometimes those opinions don't align with Scripture. And sometimes the opinions that people have only align with things that they think in their mind. And what I mean by that is sometimes individuals will have this concept that people in the Old Testament, people in the New Testament were dull. That's a fancy word for saying stupid. And they weren't, amen? They had knowledge that we don't have. They have knowledge that we have disregarded. There's a lot to be talked about when we start talking about the Lord and who He is and understanding every little detail about these names. Now, again, I just want to clarify. When I look at the Scripture and I compare Scripture with Scripture, these things are evident, okay? This is not something that I am, you know, trying to go against like 500 years of commentary or whatever. But what I'm trying to show is that what Scripture reveals is what Scripture reveals, right? Look, the works of men are exactly that. They're men. I've had debates with individuals about the works of men. And I said Revelation 21, I meant Revelation 22. But one of the key things to understand about works of men is that they are not comparable to the work of Christ and the work of the Word of God. Men will get things wrong. And men will say things that are not accurate according to Scripture. And when we talk about this name, the bright and morning star that we find here, and let's go ahead and read Revelation chapter 22. And in verse 16, this is Jesus Christ speaking. And again, if you've got a red letter Bible, it might be in here in red, but we know it's Jesus because, well, He says the name in there. In verse 16, it says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David," and we talked about that branch, and it says, "and the bright and morning star." So this is a name that Jesus ascribes to Himself. And what we're going to look at this morning is the scriptural understanding of what this bright and morning star reference is in connection with. So I want to make sure that we understand that we're going to look at things that are scriptural. And I'll make a couple of comments and then, you know, but we're going to take a look at what the Bible says versus what commentary says. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this time. I thank You again, Lord, for all that You have blessed us with. And I thank You so much for Your word that guides us and directs us. Lord, I thank You for Your Spirit that teaches us and guides us in Your word to take these principles, that we would apply them unto our lives, Lord, to give us the wisdom and the understanding that we need of Your word and Your will for our lives, how, Lord, we can please You and glorify You. And I pray, Lord, that this morning we would do that by having a heart that is humble, by a humility of mind and heart, that we approach these things, Lord, to receive the instruction of You and not of our own assent. Lord, I thank You so much for all that You teach us. And Lord, may these things grow in us that we would have a fruit, Lord, that is yielded, that is pleasing unto You, that, Lord, we would glorify You in all things in our life, and, Lord, we would realize Your preeminence. I thank You again, Lord, for all that You have given to us. And these things I pray in Your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we take a look at the book of Revelation, it becomes very, very clear that as he goes through and he mentions several of his names in this book, because it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, some people will try to title it the revelation of John. Well, John's not being revealed here. Jesus Christ is being revealed. And what we find in this passage is this name that has to do with a star. Now, one thing that we know that we have talked and that we have seen and we've heard multiple times, we even heard Pastor DeMichael talk about it, is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Preeminence as in he is the first, amen? He is the Alpha, as we have talked about. He is the one that we are to have first in our heart, first in our thoughts, first in our judgment, first in our speech, first in our action, first in our mind, in our thoughts. He is to be the first in our heart, and dare I say, the only in our heart, that is the one that guides and directs and sits upon that throne. So when we start thinking about the things that we find in Scripture, we realize that Scripture reveals a mass amount of things about who Jesus Christ is. And I want to show that not only does the Word of God reveal things, but the very creation that God has made reveals that as well. So let's go over to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. In Psalm chapter 19, when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we see some things here. And in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." God's creation will declare it. Amen? And again, it's when man looks at it through the lens of man's eyes. When you start looking at everything that's around us through the eyes of God and the eyes of Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, then everything changes. That's why Sir Isaac Newton was extremely smart. That's why others were extremely smart, because they looked at it from the perspective of this is God's creation, that this didn't evolve over billions and billions and billions of years. That this was specifically something God created. So if God creates the heavens, it's going to declare who he is. Your body will declare who he is. All the physical portions of it, all of the anatomy, all of the physiology, the biology of everything shows God. And we'll get to some more verses in regards to that. But he says here, it says, "The firmament showeth his handiwork." So what we find is that the Lord is saying, hey, if you start taking what I have put in Scripture and you start comparing it to what you see around you, you will see me. You'll see God. You'll see Jesus Christ, because he is the creator of all things, as Scripture tells us. By him all things were created, and by him all things consist. So we know that very specifically about who Jesus Christ is. He is the preeminent creator. And he's going to reveal himself and his glory in his handiwork, what he has put together. And the text here that we have on the slide says that this obviously shows us what God has done, not just in creation, but in his work of salvation. We even see that in all of in nature itself. And I say this, when you think about it, when the sun sets, how many of you have noticed that the sky changes some color? Now, obviously, here in the Pacific Northwest, sometimes we can't tell the difference between the sun's, you know, rises and the sun sets, because we have days like today. Welcome to fall, by the way. Fall in the Pacific Northwest has come with a demonstrative show of what it's going to be like. We enter the stage where people get depressed. And I don't know, as I've said before, you know, I like clouds because my Savior is going to return in the clouds. So if it's a bright and sunny day, it might be a nice day, but I look up and I go, well, he's not coming today. Being facetious, okay? But I look at all these things and I see, okay, the Lord shows things. Sometimes at sunset, it begins to show, you know, bright golden colors. Sometimes it is a deep, dark red. I remember one time we were witnessing to some young man in our home, and this is when I was younger, and we were talking about how all of this reveals who Jesus Christ is, reveals the plan of salvation, and it was mentioned that even the sky shows it, you know, as the sun sets, it turns red, and that day when the sun set, And in our room that we were talking with him, as the sun set, the whole wall behind us just turned this deep, dark red. I'm like, well, that's God. Amen. He revealed, I mean, very clearly right there. And the guy's looking at us, and his eyes are wider than saucers. And he's just like, wow, did you guys time that or what? And I'm like, we didn't. But, you know, the Lord did. It reveals that. So as the sun sets, it turns red to demonstrate some of that shed blood. Amen. So you start thinking about those things, you start realizing God puts all those little things in Scripture and in the world and in the creation itself to reveal Himself. And we see that all of this, and you take in again to conjunction what Paul says, go over to Romans chapter 1. This again is just kind of a primer for what we're going to think about. You know, it's one thing you have to do. When you study the Bible, you have to prime your brain to think biblically. Biblically. You know, sometimes you got to prime certain machines. You got to sit there and, you know, with the lawnmower, sit there and pump the little thing on there to get the fuel in there to get it. I mean, if you put something else in there, I mean, if you jump a bunch of ether in there, yeah, it's going to start. You might need to have some emergency room work done if you try to do something like that. But there's a way to prime it. There's a way not to prime it. And what we have to do is we have to prime the way we think according to the Word of God. Romans 12. And what we have to do is we do that with the Word of God. And in verse 20 of Romans chapter 1, it says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Invisible things being clearly seen. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? It's invisible to a lot of mankind because they don't think about it, because they don't look for it. But what God begins to do is He begins to reveal Himself and show Himself. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The individual that sits there and says, well, what about the guy that's never going to hear about Jesus Christ? Well, God says nature reveals it. And we like to think in our own minds that that's not possible. But there is evidence over and 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 over again that it is. About how many times individuals that are in these tribes and all over the parts of the world that have never had, you know, Western world contact, and all of a sudden a missionary shows up and they've been saying, we've been praying to God. And you're like, how do you know about God? Well, they look around and they go, well, obviously somebody made all this. Oh, you mean evolution wasn't a natural thought process? No, it's not. And what happens is they start saying, you know, they're like, well, how did you know to pray to God? Well, isn't that what you're supposed to do? You pray to God, you pray to Him, you pray to the one that made all of this, and they acknowledge that, and they said, well, we prayed that God would send somebody to tell us more about Him. They're without excuse, amen? And dare I say, that mentality is constantly being brought up over and over and over again. It's not just one or two instances. This isn't anecdotal. This is something that a lot of people begin to hear to these these, I don't want to say unchurched, but that have not received the gospel of Jesus Christ, they all recognize and say, hey, there is something about a God that exists that He is showing something to me. And the Lord talks about all of that through Romans chapter 1. But it says the creation shows this. The things that are created reveal this. And with that, it gives us a study tool to learn about God and to know about Him, to know about, well, who He is. And we see it revealed in the heavens. And it's very evident that the Lord would use His name to express and reveal His attributes. That bright and morning star is one of those names that reveals His attribute. Bright and morning. Now, when I think about a bright and morning star, what's the first star that comes to your mind? Thank you for proving a point. I've read so many commentaries that talk about it being Venus, and I'm like, I... I'm just sitting there thinking, in the morning? And then there's all these people that sit there and they say, yeah, but if you look at the certain point and you move and you just, and then you look at that, see that little dot right there? And I'm like, my eyesight's kind of bad far away, but, you know, I'm like, wait a second. The bright and morning star is the sun. And people sit there and they say, well, they didn't think about that back then because they didn't think that the sun was a star. Actually, they did. They did. And I'll show that verse in just a moment. They viewed it as that. So when in the morning, every single night, when that celestial object comes up, when that celestial object begins to appear in those morning hours, that's the sun. Everything changes. It brings light. Now, I understand that the moon reflects light. I understand that there is starlight that is out there. There's those type of things. But again, sometimes harnessing that is very difficult to do. There is a scope that many, you know, operatives wind up using. It would be referred to as a starlight scope, where it would be able to pick up just the ambient light of the stars to illuminate their object down further in the range so that they could get their target. It was referred to as a starlight scope, but it was highly, highly inadequate when you start talking about the light of the sun. The light of the sun is far greater. The light of the sun, if you look at it long enough, will blind you. You look at these LED lights, and after a while you might get a headache, but it's not going to blind you. Your night vision might be, you know, a little messed up. You might wind up having little spots in your eyes and so on and so forth. Every now and then I get that because I'll look up and I'll catch these ones right here on these ceiling fans, and I'm like, ah! So all of a sudden all I see are spots on you guys, okay? So, you know, but the sun is far brighter. The sun is greater than that. So when we think about that bright and morning star, our logical conclusion that is the sun. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I want you to see this. And again, sometimes we read through the Word of God a little too fast. And I'd like to challenge you, when you read through the Word of God, slow down. There's not a rush. I know you may have a short period of time in your day to read it, but it's better to slow down and not read as much than to read more and not understand. Okay? Take a look at what he says here in verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon. Saying they're different, but there's still glory with it. And another glory of the stars. Now what we see there is we see a continuation of the thought that supports what he just talked about. See, back in the day, everything that was in the sky was considered a star. Didn't matter what it was. It was a star. Verse 41, for one star differeth from another star in glory. He's talking about everything that he just mentioned, because he mentioned stars, moon, and sun. That's how they categorize things. But oh no, here comes man along and says, oh hey, we're going to categorize something totally different. And you know what? I really don't think that it was a fish. I think it was a whale, but it couldn't have been a whale because it was obviously a mammal. So that obviously isn't a fish because we don't categorize it as a fish. You're like, what does that have to do with anything we're talking about? They strain at that, believing what God said. When God said it was a whale and then he said it was a fish, Or excuse me, we said it was a fish and then you said it was a whale. And I will tell you this, it's not a translation issue. It's how God views it. If God says that a whale is a big fish, what is it? Thank you. Don't tell me it's a mammal. Don't tell me, well, we don't categorize it as that. Look, man sometimes tries to do that, and I do think that sometimes it is the work of the devil, but a lot of times it is the work of the ignorance of man. Again, don't attribute to malice what can often be attributed to ignorance. Amen? Right. And that's the case. So when Paul says, hey, everything up there is a star, and they all have different glories, meaning some are brighter than others, then we all look at them as stars. Now, somehow along the way, man actually got it right when they started looking at our sun and they said, oh, it's a star. And all those little pinpoint lights up there, a lot of them are stars. Now, some are planets, but we still look at it. What do you call it? You see the big red one up there. What do you call it? It's a star. Well, what is it? Mars. You see another one. And it's brighter. It's over on the other side of the sky. What is that? Well, you look at it and go, well, that's a star, but it's actually Jupiter. And then sometimes you see a brighter one that's off over to the other side. And you look at that and you go, oh, so that's Venus. You start seeing all of those things. But I will tell you this, when it comes to the bright and morning star, there is only one bright and morning star. And that is the sun. Because Jesus Christ is compared to, over and over and over again, the sun. Not Venus. Not a planet. And not some other star. Now again, I'll just make a comment. There are some things out there where there are some manuscripts that make some changes. And I'll tell you, the manuscripts that make changes that go over there where it talks about old Lucifer and says he's the son of the morning, and they change that to the morning star, that's a bad manuscript. Okay? Because then that makes Jesus and Lucifer the same morning star, and that's not the case. Son of the morning is different than morning star. But we don't really want to learn about what he is right now. We're talking about our Savior. Amen? That's the one that matters. So we started looking at this a little bit further. Let's go over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's get into 2 Peter and out of 1 Peter. That might make more sense. And it says in verse 19, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. So when does dawn start? When the sun rises. Okay? When light begins to appear, and the day star arise in your hearts. Well, what is the day star? What stars can you see in the sky? Well, look, the day star is starting to shine right now. It's breaking through the clouds. I just noticed that. I was going to say, you can't see it now, but yeah, well, I guess we could. But what other stars are you going to see? Now, I know Pacific Northwest, cloud cover, I get it. But in the daytime, when the sky is blue, how many other stars do you see? You see the day star, the star that shines in the day, which is our star of the solar system called the sun. Peter knew this, and when he's referencing Jesus Christ here, that day star that is rising as a dawn that is shedding light into dark places in our souls, Where we're before, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And when you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you are in darkness and you're children of darkness. And in Ephesians 4, or excuse me, more in Ephesians 4, in the book of Ephesians, he calls us children of light. Why? Because the light has shined in our hearts. The light of the day star. The light of the bright and morning star. This is the connection we begin to make. And it describes him as that. And again, it shows very clearly who he is. Turn over to the book of Hosea. Hosea. Let's go back over to the old minor prophets here. Find the book of Daniel. Find Hosea really quick. It's right after it. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, and in verse 3, again, we're talking about some things with Israel, talking about some judgment, and talking about how the Lord's going to deal with them, and also how he is going to show mercy upon them and grace, and obviously fulfill his word and his promise. It says in verse 3, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Just want to pause there. Remember the verse that says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge"? This is a follow-up verse, okay? You know when you know. You know? it's you know, you have knowledge when you know the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. He says, "His going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth." And again, he's talking about a refreshment in the last part. But in that first description of him, he says very clearly that he shall come, or his going forth is prepared as the morning. And when the morning shows, you've got that glorious sunrise, all those colors change, everything begins to transform, and then you wind up with this bright day star in the sky. That's the morning. That is the morning that happens. Again, Hosea is making reference to who Jesus Christ is. Take a look at another passage. Let's go over to the book of Luke. The Gospel of Luke in Luke chapter 1. So all that stuff that I said previously about men's doctrines and men's commentaries and so on and so forth, I don't see anywhere in the scripture where Jesus Christ is compared to the planet Venus. If you find one for me, you can come correct me. And I will stand up here and I will say, okay, there you go. But that's not the case. The only star I ever see him described as is the sun. And this is what we find. This is what we find in Scripture. And in verse 78 here, it says in Luke chapter 1, and here's obviously this is a prophecy of what is coming, this is how it begins to talk about Jesus Christ's birth. And it says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Well, obviously, we can make a connection there. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, right? And a light unto my path. The psalmist talks about that. Here, this old prophet, he realizes this, and he sees this, and he's talking about daylight coming when realizing they're in darkness. So when he starts realizing that and he sees all these things, he makes this comment and he says, "Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Well, what's the day spring? That's when the sun springs up. And you're like, wait a second. You're saying that they understood that the light and the day, they're synonymous together, and that they needed light during the day, that they weren't going for some artificial light, anything of that nature? No, they were not. They are going for the brightness of the sun, which is the only preeminent light to our earth right now. Now look, I understand there are bigger suns. When we were doing a basic program and we were going through some things with creation in the past, I was doing a lesson and I had some slides and I showed some examples and I had one of those little videos that showed our sun, and it shows it really big in the screen, and then it begins to move to the other stars that are in there in the sky that they found. And then there's that one that is so massive that our sun next to that sun is just this little speck. Well, that's the sun, but that, you know what? That's not to our earth. This is to our earth. This is to the world that God has created and put mankind on. And I'm going to clarify. I'm not saying that that's that big sun that's out there that's, you know, massive compared to ours is a sun for some other group of people, because God's dealing with the people on earth. You're like, well, is there intelligent life out there in the solar system? Well, yes, and he's called the prince of the power of the air. And I'll just leave it at that. So, when they start talking about other things visiting us, they ain't from God. They ain't from God. I'm not going to get into my conspiracy theory because I left my tinfoil hat at home. I will say this, okay? Not one UFO abductions event or visitation by UFOs or any type of close encounter has ever happened with a born-again saved child of God. A true born-again saved child of God. Not one. And the ones that claim to be, you find out, they're not Christian. They're not believers. They do not believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to save them. They're something else. They claim to be Christians, but they're not. I'll get off that. Okay. Tinfoil hat goes away. All right. Let's go ahead and go back to the Word of God. Let's go over to John chapter 1. I know that that tickles some of you guys. You know, you like to hear that tinfoil stuff. Sometimes I do too. It just makes me a little mad. So I try not to go there as a person with anger management issues. I just don't go there, okay? You know, the Lord gave victory over my anger a long time ago. And I realized that I needed to be a lot more meek in my manner and how I do things, because I'm not going to go scorched earth on people. It's not good to do that. So I avoid things that anger me. Amen? So when I start seeing conspiracy theory stuff like that come up, I just kind of like push it to the side, because my flesh wants to go to that. But here, if you want a conspiracy theory, I'll give you conspiracy theory. God is right, man is wrong. Amen. Moving on. John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, that was the true light. Well, who is that? He's talking about Jesus Christ. Didn't say that John the Baptist was the light. He said, no, there was a true light that John the Baptist came to witness, came to bear witness of. It says, that was the true light which lighteth every man in that cometh into the world. Every man that has been born here in this world has experienced the light of the sun. Like, I'm sure there's probably someone somewhere that hasn't. Maybe that's the case. But the light of the sun has influenced their life directly, one way, shape, or form. Because our sun is vital to life here on this earth. Amen? The light that the sun shines on this earth is vital to life on this earth. You know what they say to people that generally have problems with their immune system? Go lay in the sun for a little bit. Get your daily dose of vitamin D. Vitamin D is a critical thing. Now look, I understand some people pop it by pills, and you might have to do that if you've got a deficiency in that. But you know what? There's nothing better than going out there and standing and going, hey, I'm going to enjoy the sun for a little while. Unless you're like me, who just breaks out in hives. I'm special. Amen. But you begin to realize that the light of the sun that the Lord's talking about here is important in every area of life and to every person that lives on this earth. Take a look at what he says over in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8. And I am missing a number there. So let's go ahead and go to verse 12, not verse 2. It says in John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. That is one of the most important things for us to realize. All of these things we've been talking about is the spiritual life that we need. And again, when we take a look at the comparisons, as we've looked at before in the book of Proverbs, what do you wind up seeing? God takes the physical things and compares them to things that we know to be spiritual. And what we find is that physical that compares to the spiritual, there's a pattern there that we look at. While light is necessary for everything on this earth, the light is necessary for life in Jesus Christ alone, for eternal life. If there's no light, things die. Things die. This again points to the one star that we know as our sun. There's no other star this compares to. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 19. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 19. Multiple verses in Psalm chapter 19 show this principle over and over and over and over again. And we don't have time to read through the entire psalm, but as he talks about it showing the handiwork, as we go through all of these things, I want you to see verse 2. Just I'm going to cherry pick some verses here. Verse 2. Day unto day uttereth speech. Meditate on that verse for a little bit. Day unto day. Every day requires the light of the sun. Day unto day uttereth speech. Well, what speech are we talking about? What else is the name of our Savior? Not only is he called light in John chapter 1, but he's also called the Word. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. You go down through all of these things, and he starts talking about all of these things that relate to Jesus Christ and who he is. And you go down here in verse 4, their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Well, let me ask you this. Who has a tabernacle? I mean, what was it Peter said that he was going to build when he saw him at the Mount of Transfiguration? He was building tabernacles. Well, why does he say tabernacles? Because it would take a lot longer to build a temple. What did the Jews have in the wilderness? They didn't have a temple. They had a tabernacle. He refers to our bodies as tabernacles. Why? Because they're mobile. He also refers to them as temples, and I get that. Meaning there's more secure and foundational things. But what we find here is we start talking about tabernacle for the sun. Well, who was that tabernacle made for over there in the wilderness? God. God. Our Savior. Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, they weren't quite realizing who that was, because Jesus Christ is God. Amen? I mean, that's the nature of the doctrine of the Trinity. Jesus Christ is God. He was dwelling with them over there. He was their rock. He was their water. He was their light by night. He was in the tabernacle. His glory shone forth. There was a mercy seat. I mean, there was so much about that that again, every part of the tabernacle reveals Jesus Christ. Every part of their worship services and the sacrifices reveals Jesus Christ. The priest's garments reveal Jesus Christ. That's why you go over to the book of Hebrews, and the writer of Hebrews says, yeah, there's something better. His name is Jesus, because those were all types and shadows of things to come. Jesus is real and is here. So we begin to realize all of these things that he goes through, and he shows this over and over and over again. Through all of this passage, we see all of these things pointing to our Savior as the Son. Go over to chapter 72 of the book of Psalms. Chapter 72. Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Well, this is talking about the Lord God. This is talking about God himself. And one of the ways that all nations are blessed is through the sacrifice that he did on the cross for us. Amen? I mean, that's what he was talking about over there to Abraham. This is what the psalmist understands here as well. But it says that his name is going to continue as long as the sun. You know, you remember back in the day, everyone was freaking out. They were saying, oh, the sun's going to burn out next number of years. It's the end of the world. Like, isn't that kind of contrary to global warming? If the sun's... Never mind. Anyways, moving on. They were all panicking about that. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the seasons that we have are not going to cease. Now, when the earth is gone, then obviously the seasons are gone. But till then, look, and that isn't carte blanche to just misuse what God has given us, amen? You need to use it appropriately. You need to use it correctly. You need to use it wisely. You don't go around spreading, you know, all sorts of contaminants all over the place, okay? But again, we've got to understand, we don't live in fear that all of a sudden we're not going to have things. We don't. We trust the Lord. Psalm chapter 84. Psalm chapter 84. Psalm chapter 84 and verse 19. Not 19. There is no 19. Well, now I know where my missing one went. Verse 9. It made a jump from one reference to the other. A little stinker. All right. In verse 9 it says, oh, behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thy anointed. Man, that's not the right one. It is 11. There you go. Thank you. All right. This is what happens when you get a dyslexic. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being so understanding about my inability to type and to actually put together number references correctly. You're very gracious. I appreciate that. Verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. That's the shield I was looking for. The sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walketh uprightly. Some people forget the last few verses or words of that verse about the walking uprightly. But what we find here is that he is a sun and shield. A sun and shield. Not only is he a protector, but he is also that light that is necessary to fight, by the way. To fight. It's hard to fight in the dark. You ever try to fight in the dark? You ever try to use night vision goggles? Back in the day, we had Gen 1s, and man alive, you're like, is that a person or a goat? I can't tell. They're so grainy. Nowadays, those, you know, the new generations, I forget what generation they're on now, generation 3 or 4 or whatever. They're like nice and crisp images, things like that. It looked like I was looking at 8-bit digi, you know, some sort of Nintendo game. I'm like, I can't even make that thing out. Just shoot it. Like, no, I don't know what it is. But you realize that there's something that the Lord says about the Son being necessary. Again, we were talking about that's who He is. He is the Son, the Son. Take a look at verse 86, or chapter 86, verse 39, which doesn't have 39 either. Good night. Yes, it is. How in the world? You know, what's really bad is I double-check these references. All right, well, we'll move on from that other one. Let's go to one that I know for sure. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. I'm going to go back, double-check the verse, and then I'll get back with you next week. Malachi chapter 4. Here's probably one of the most direct references you're ever going to get about the star, the bright morning star. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the sun," notice that, capital S-U-N. S-U-N. "The sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the soul." The sun of righteousness. You can't even change that to S-O-N because then it wouldn't make sense. S-U-N was something that arises and heals. Light is a great healer. Light gets rid of a lot of bacteria, doesn't it? You know, you ever seen those cool little devices that you put your phone in? Yeah, by the way, don't ever test your phone for germs. You'll gag. But you go through and what do you do? You put your phone in those little cases and it has UV light, and what does it do? Kills them all. You ever see the little UV pens that you can stick in water and you can decontaminate what's in there? What is that? That's light. There's something about light. There's something about the wavelengths of light. There's something about it that changes things. There's something about it that alters things. There's something about it that cleanses things. Hence, the sun of righteousness. That which is right. Not unrighteousness, but what is right. Therein, and again, it's S-U-N. I mean, with a capital S, that is exactly what that bright and morning star reference is going towards. And I want to mention this really quickly, and I just kind of tacked this on at the end. But if you've ever read through the book of Ecclesiastes when you're like depressed and you want more depression, go over and read Ecclesiastes, and you find all these things, and he mentions 29 times in 27 different verses the phrase "under the sun, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun." He's talking about everything that man does under the sun. And what does the last verse end with? Turn there just really quickly. I want to show you this. In verse 14 of chapter 12, "For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every good, or with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." You know what light does? Light reveals. It reveals for the sake of judgment. And in the end, what is the judgments that we face? We are at the judgment seat of Christ for what we have done for Jesus. The judgment seat of Christ. He's referencing it there. He's also referencing the great white throne judgment, where it says, if your name is not written in the Lamb's book, well, who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. Then they are cast into the lake of fire. Judgment. That's at the great white throne judgment. And we begin to see that that is all threaded throughout the entire Word of God. Look, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't see Venus anywhere near the Son of God. I see the Son of Righteousness. I see the bright morning star, our sun for our solar system that gives us light. That's what I find in Scripture. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer, and I will try to make sure I get those misaligned references fixed and find out what one was in chapter 86 over there, but I'll find it. But let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have given to us. I thank you so much for your mercy and grace. And Lord, it is often revealed to us how frail and weak we truly are and what state we're in. And Lord, it is such a great truth that we can trust in you, that we can rely on you, that Lord, you are our strength, you are our shield, you are our sun. And Lord, again, I just thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, you just bless the 11 o'clock hour, Lord, as we continue to worship you, sing praises to you, and learn of you. And these things I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.